Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the 80 Sports Show, where sports, faith, and life come together. Well, we want to celebrate today the passing of a torch. We always think about the torch when the Olympics comes around, lighting the fire. Well, it's this kind of torch today I'm talking about. I'm talking about passing on the torch to the newcomers, to the next generation. And we see just that this weekend at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, as the handoff took place to a young 21-year-old Texas boy by the name of Jordan Spieth. Reminded me a lot of the old NBA. Talk a little bit about the old NBA in the last show, and accordingly so, as you think about the NBA playoffs coming and the nature of the hard contact fouls in the lane. But in this instance, I'm talking about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, who ruled the 80s, the decade of the Celtics and Lakers. And we saw a torch passed. It actually took place in 1992 when the Dream Team was assembled and Michael Jordan, the scene, winning his first championship in 91 over Magic. But remember, Magic got AIDS and the HIV virus, and the NBA and everyone allowed him to play in the Olympics, and he showed out like his normal self. But there was a game, it's called The Greatest Game Never Seen, where Magic and Larry... Well, actually, Larry sat on the sidelines, if you remember that time. He was ending his career and his back was hurt. And so, basically, it was Magic's squad versus Michael's squad. And if you haven't heard this before, it's just a great story. Of course, Magic's talking junk and doesn't want to give up his reins as the NBA leading man. But there's a new sheriff in town, and his name was Michael at the time, and he let everybody know it. And in the game... He let Magic know it. His team won yet again. And it just reminded me this week the fact that I could compare Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods to Larry and Magic, handing it off to the young guy who really, he almost set Tiger Woods' record in just his second Masters. I mean, he almost won the Masters last year at age 20, which would have set the record as the youngest golfer to win the Masters. However, he was still able to do amazing things. And in fact, he got a minus 19, which even Tiger wasn't able to do that. And had he parred his last hole, he would have hung on for the all-time record at the Masters for four rounds. He did go wire to wire, however. That means he led each round Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. At the end of the day, and was able to hang on to it at the end of the day, and he did that the entire week. That hasn't been done since 1976. It's been 39 years. Of course, you may remember me mentioning that year, the fact the last college team that went undefeated, Indiana Hoosiers, Kentucky Wildcats just weren't able to get it done this time. Going back to Jordan Spieth, though, Jim Nance just did a great job commentating the game. And he said that, the game of golf. And he said that this was a coronation of a new generation. You know, you think about LeBron James as coronated as the NBA's next guy after Michael. Well, this is what took place this past weekend in golf. We saw King that was crowned. And he can really rule the golf world for the next 15 years, just as Tiger, you know, got his minus 18 17 years ago. So Jordan Spieth could rule golf for another 17 years. I mean, it's just amazing. But, yeah, we did see Kentucky fall short in the championship. Well, actually, they didn't even make it to the championship game in the semifinal game. And I think Kentucky's problem was they just had too much talent. We know Duke ended up winning the game, and they only go 8 deep. And that's probably about all you need. I mean, if you've got too many guns, you end up shooting your own self in the foot. And I think that was Coach Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats' problem. You just can't keep everybody happy. And already 7 have already declared to go to the NBA next year, which won't be a problem for Kentucky. As you know, Kentucky doesn't rebuild. They reload, and they run a platoon system, and it's just different. Coach K, he didn't jump all the way on the bandwagon, but he's right there next to Kentucky as far as bringing in the one-and-dones. And he took some heat for that in the championship game against Wisconsin. Bo Ryan was Wisconsin's coach, was highly critical of the referee. I'll get to that in a second. But he also kind of took an inadvertent shot toward Coach K, and Coach K replied back, rightfully so. But he called Coach K's players a rent-a-player. And, you know, you understand what that means is, yeah, they're one and done. They're only going to be there a year, and they're out of here, moving on to the NBA. And we see that with, say, like a Jahlil Okafor, who, you know, to me was one of the best, if not the best, college basketball player. Of course, he'll be the number one draft pick coming up in the new NBA draft. And, you know, we probably could say that a torch was passed to him as far as being the next great center in the game of basketball. I mean, you think of Shaquille O'Neal back in the day, we just haven't seen a dominant center in a while, and it'd be great to get back. We played a lot of small ball here lately. You see guys chunking up threes left and right, spread the floor. But, you know, having a big man can really change the nature of the game. But, you know, back to Bo Ryan, he said the referees were allowing things in this game, the championship game, that they hadn't allowed all tournament. And he said there was too much handshaking and body contact. And I understand the point he's making. And if it's true, he's right. There shouldn't be referee inconsistency. You know, referees shouldn't call a regular season game different from a regular season conference game. They shouldn't call a conference game different than any tournament game. They shouldn't call a conference tournament game any different than the NCAA tournament game. And they sure shouldn't call any NCAA tournament game different than any NCAA Final Four or championship game. You just want consistency. And, you know, you've got different referees from different conferences that assemble on the floor, get together, and really from conference to conference, we should all be playing by one rule book. But unfortunately, it seems today that we don't. There's one conference seems to call it harder on the fouls than the other. Some other conferences let them play softer. And by the time you mix and match and put them all in one bag, you don't know what you're going to get. And Bo Ryan may have a point to be made. But on the other hand, he himself took a lot of heat because of the fact that really Wisconsin was lucky to get to the game. They had some calls go their way before the championship game when they played Kentucky. So it's tit for tat. In the end, it didn't work out for Bo. He still had a great season. He still has a heck of a team. He still had the All-American player, the player of the year, and down to the point why Wisconsin lost the game. Nobody wants to say it. I haven't heard it said. It's not the refs. The refs didn't lose the game for Wisconsin. There was a guy on the team, and you hate to put it on the young man. He just had a heck of a tournament. But Sam Decker just wasn't his normal self. The Sam Decker of the first 5 games wasn't the Sam Decker of the championship game. And had he played like his normal self, Wisconsin wins the game by 10 easily. In fact, I felt Duke kind of lucked up just even getting to the tournament. championship game. They struggled against Utah, but were able to pull it out. They struggled in another game, but were able to pull it out. And any really two or three games, even including championship, maybe that's up to four, where they really, to me, just got lucky. But they deserved it. They deserved a championship. If you get that far, you're well-deserving. And talk about why Duke won. It wasn't just great coaching, which talk about that in a second, too. The reason why Duke won was really gets down to two players, Grayson Allen. I want to tell you a quick story on this young man. He's all about hard work and not being seen. He didn't have the notoriety. He came into the season. Nobody was talking about him. You know, we only heard in the championship game that he had the highest vertical leap on the team. You would think someone like that would be starting every game at Duke, but no. He was always found in the gym after practice when the season started and he wasn't getting much playing time. And then they moved him into the starting lineup, if you remember, and he showed out. Maybe got talked about a little bit more, but nonetheless, he was still the last one out of the gym. And then here we come in a tournament when he's getting his name out there even more. And, you know, he's still the last guy out. He's a hard worker, and he deserved everything he got. And it just culminated in the championship game where people were able to finally recognize him. But his teammates knew it about him the entire time. He knew it about himself the entire time. His coach knew it about him the entire time. Coach K was really the man who held Grayson back this year. But he knew if he was going to win a championship, he had to have him in there, and he did. That's what makes Coach K a great coach. Down by nine, Grayson, get in there. Okay, we're only down by one now. Thank you, Grayson. And Tyus Jones, you're the best point guard in America that I brought in this last recruiting class. Carry us home, and he did by the pick and rolls. Jaleel didn't play a great game, but Tyus carried the team, and that's why he won the MVP. Deserved everything he got, and he's going to be a great point guard at the next level just the same. Speaking of Coach K, though, you could say almost, since we're talking about coronations and handing off the torch to the next generation. It'll be about time for Coach K to do that soon, but let's just give him some praise while we can. He is this generation's John Wooden. John Wooden, the greatest probably coach, not just college basketball coach, period, but coach of all time. I was able to hear him live before he passed away. And just an amazing man, full of wisdom. But he... I mean, think about what Coach K did. Five championships, basically, in the last 20 years. I don't know. We'll see it again. It's going to be tough to do. Things are just getting harder and harder every year. Well, looking at the greatest point guards, I'd also say that in the NBA, that Chris Paul has handed the torch off to Stephen Curry. I don't like what ESPN the magazine did by putting Kyrie Irving at number 9 in their top 30 point guards in the NBA. I would put Kyrie higher up on the list. He's become a better 3-point shooter this year and can also dish and pass out the rock, pass some assists out. Of course, that just happens when you play with LeBron, but he's become a better point guard. They've got Chris Paul 1, Curry 2, Russell Westbrook 3. I disagree with that. John Wall 4, Mike Conley 5. I put Westbrook as my MVP this year, as I've said before. Then probably number 2, go ahead and say tie between James Harden and LeBron James. But either way, let somebody else have it besides James this year. I don't know if Oklahoma City is going to make the playoffs. But it's about that time. Well, thank you for listening to today's show. You guys enjoy the rest of the week.